Good morning, this is Patrick Wannis, human behavior expert, PhD, and this message is for Crystalline. I trust that I pronounced that correctly. Is it Crystalline or Crystalline? It's a beautiful name, and I'm guessing your mother and father gave it to you because of the root word of Christ. Nonetheless, all right, enough analysis of your name. Let's start with the topic, and what does it really mean to be feminine? I received your questions. Thank you. I looked up your website briefly. I noticed there was an article there by, I believe, her name is Nicole Abundance. She was talking about femininity. I thought it was quite philosophical, poetical, inspirational, and yet I felt that it wasn't practical or clear in its definition of femininity, nor was it practical in the application of what femininity might be. So I feel that to answer your questions, we must first clearly define femininity. And I'm going to begin by saying that obviously there is a vast difference between feminine and masculine energy, but they can be summed up as the following. Masculine energy is directive energy. It has a goal, it's focused, and it's about achievement or doing something. Feminine energy, on the other hand, is about receptive energy. It's about receiving. It's about being open. Interestingly, if you take a look at even the human body when comparing the male body with the female body, what you notice is that the male, even with his genitalia, can easily be described as directive energy. The female genitalia is receptive energy. In the sense, if you look at the male genitalia and how it connects and how the male and female connect when in intercourse, there's the directive energy of the male, there's the receptive, the directive approach by a man and the receptive approach by the female body. Now, you don't have to look at it that way, but nonetheless, let's continue looking at, well, what does it mean to be feminine? What does it mean to be masculine? Feminine, let me start by defining masculine energy so we can get clear about that, and then we can contrast that with feminine energy. This is from my article, patrickwannis.com/blog/what women look for in a man. And I said, women want a man that is intelligent, strong, bold, confident, calm, self-assured, and masculine. And I just defined masculine qualities as assertiveness, confidence, energy, incisiveness, determination, strength of mind and body, stamina, nobility, self-sacrifice, and leadership. Devotion to family, caring, acceptance, commitment, honesty, reliability, respect and love for women, children, and all living things, responsibility, and the ability to admit that he's not perfect, thus always remaining willing to work at being a better person. If you break down some of those adjectives, some of that description, obviously they could also apply to women in the sense of, you know, commitment, honesty, reliability, respect, etc. But there are some specific qualities about the masculine that truly contrast it from the feminine energy. And even if we look at another way, or if we take another look at contrasting the two, we say that men are very direct. They tell you exactly what they're thinking in the moment, whereas women tend to be subtle. And the feminine energy is a subtle energy. But it doesn't mean that it's any less powerful or any less equal, or it doesn't mean that it's not equal, to the male energy. If anything, I would, as a male, argue that the female energy is so much more powerful than the male energy for two key reasons. First and foremost, because the female energy is a reproductive energy. And second, because the female energy has so much power over the masculine. Women have a lot more power over men than they choose to understand, accept, or embrace. Now, having said that, let's still say, well, what might be some of the qualities that we could put next to femininity so that women can be clear about what femininity is? Femininity is about the depth of emotions of sensitivity, compassion, empathy, sympathy. It's about humor. It's about spirit. It's about receptivity, and it's also about nurturing. These are the beautiful qualities of the feminine energy. Also, as I mentioned a moment ago, the feminine energy is receptive, and it's also about reproduction. I'm not sure what I was going to say next. I think I was going to give you a question. I don't know if that fully summarizes clearly the feminine energy. Oh, yes. What I wanted to add to that was you said something very powerful and obviously quite accurate, that most people, when they think of femininity, they think of submission. But let's not confuse submission with surrender. Surrender is very different. Surrender is when you give away your power. Submission is about saying, I allow the other person to lead. So that's why we also talk about men being noble, leaders, making sacrifices, taking heroic acts. I'm also going to distinguish between male and female gender roles. The other challenge we have is that we feel that, well, if a woman is feminine, then she's going back to playing old traditional roles where the patriarchy basically was the ruler, or it was about patriarchy, that the men had all the power and women had none. This leads us to the point of feminism. Can femininity and feminism work together? Well, here's why there's a struggle with that. Feminism was created in response to the male oppression of women. Feminism tried to bring a balance, but it swung the pendulum the other way. And what I mean by that was, instead of the feminist movement saying, hold on, men, we are equal to you. No, the feminist movement said, men, we are not equal to you. We are superior to you. Therefore began a battle. Also, what the feminist movement tried to do was, instead of embracing the power of a woman and her feminine energy, it actually took on the masculine energy. So in trying to say to men, women, that women are superior, it actually used the masculine energy to convince men that women are superior. Whereas what I would be saying is that men and women should be viewed as equal. Obviously extremely different, but differences that should be embraced, but nonetheless still equal. There is another point I was going to make about femininity. What was it? Oh, yes. If we understand that the masculine energy is directive, and it's about assertiveness, and it's about getting things done, then we also understand and accept that there are times that women have to embrace masculine energy. In the workforce, women need to have masculine energy. Let me give you another example. I like to distinguish the way that women raise children to the way men raise children, whether it's raising boys or girls. A woman offers unconditional love to the child, whereas a man offers conditional love. Now, let me explain that. The woman will say to the boy or to the son or daughter, I love you no matter what. The father will say, the world doesn't work that way, son and daughter. You have to be aware that there are consequences for everything you do. So the mother tries to protect the child from being hurt at all, whereas the father says, let's lessen the hurt. I don't know if that's clear what I'm saying. I hope it is. And accordingly, I say that a woman does need to at times embrace the masculine energy. But she does that at work. When she comes home and in a relationship with a man, that's when she expresses her femininity. Allowing a man to lead is about submission, but it's also about allowing someone to help you, to take care of you. Now let me see if I'm also answering all your questions, because I'm sort of going off at a tangent, which is easy to do. So why is femininity seen as a threat to feminism? Because feminism seems to view femininity as weakness, and it believes that if women are feminine, that men will once again engage in the oppression of women. I don't believe that to be true. I believe that the pendulum has swung all the other way, and I believe it can come back to the center. Why is it so difficult for women to have a discussion about femininity without feeling weak? Again, because too often people have misconstrued the definition of femininity, thinking that it's about surrender and weakness, that it's about allowing someone else to control you. Taking the lead is not the same as someone controlling you. I also wrote another interesting article, patrickwannis.com/blog, If Chivalry is Dead, Who Killed It? And I raised a really, what I believe to be powerful key point, that if a man is chivalrous to a woman, that means he's opening doors for her, he's taking care of her, he's being protective, but above all, he's putting her first. That means he's valuing her. And if a man values you, that means you're very special, you're significant, you're important, you're meaningful, you are a priority. As I say in that article, who walks into the room first? The queen. not the servants or the other people, it's always the queen, because she's the most important. So if a man's opening a door for a woman and saying, please proceed, go ahead, he's actually acknowledging, validating, recognizing, honoring and respecting the woman and saying, I value you. You are important. Please go first. So again, femininity is a threat to feminism because too many women, particularly feminists, view it as weakness. It's not weakness. It's always about finding balance. For the same reason, therefore, women are afraid to talk about femininity because they think that it means, oh, I'm going to be controlled, I'm going to be a slave, I'm going to be a servant. That is not what I promote at all, and that is not the true definition of femininity. There's an interesting movie you might like to watch. It's by Jean-Luc Besson, the guy who did The Fifth Element and Joan of Arc, and he did a movie called Angela. It's a black and white movie. It's only a few years old, but he deliberately shot it black and white. It's a beautiful movie where this woman is an angel, and she comes to the rescue of a man, and there's a beautiful scene in it where, at one point, she and he are in the woman's bathroom, and this other woman walks in and says, you know, this is a woman's bathroom. A man shouldn't be here. And she said, what man? The guy that's in the stall. And she turns around and says, oh, no, he's really a woman inside. He just has a male body. And what she was referring to at that point was that he didn't embrace his masculine energy, that he had all this beautiful feminine energy, but he didn't have the masculine energy, which leads me to the next point. We also need to accept and understand that we all have masculine and feminine energy. There are times that men also need to embrace feminine energy. And that's about empathy, compassion, kindness, patience, sensitivity, humor, spirit, receptivity. So we also need to look at the situation and say, what does it require here? Masculine energy or feminine energy? The other mistake that feminists made was this desire to be completely independent. And let's look at that word. What does independent mean? It means that I'm not dependent on anyone for anything. Therefore, I don't need to be in a relationship. Therefore, I don't need relationship with anyone else because I'm independent. I don't need anyone. Therefore, women wonder, well, why am I alone? Why am I not in a relationship? Because you're telling the world you don't want to be in a relationship because you don't want to be dependent on anyone for anything. This also raises another concern for men. And for men, once upon a time, the traditional role was that a man would take care of a woman, he would protect her, he would provide for her. He'd provide for her with physical security, financial security, and obviously, hopefully, emotional security. Now that women have the ability to make their own money, buy their own house, buy their own car, therefore they can have physical and financial security, then the man says to himself, well, what's my role? What do I do here? She doesn't need me. And then when a relationship begins and the woman keeps telling the man, I don't need you, I don't need you, then the man goes off with some other woman who says, I need you. And this is not a judgment, it's just the way it is. Men need to feel needed. Obviously, we all need to feel needed, but men need to feel needed by a woman. They need to know that the woman depends on him for something. A man feels and expresses his masculinity by taking care of a woman, by protecting her, by fixing things, by getting things done, by taking action. You might even think of the example that a woman comes home and tells her boyfriend or husband that she's had a horrible day at work and someone was really rude to her or someone insulted or offended her. And the first thing that man wants to do is he wants to fix it. He wants to fix that problem. Whereas what the woman's really looking for is sympathy, empathy, compassion, and understanding. So the masculine energy is, I'm going to take action. That's the directive energy. I'm going to take action. The feminine energy is receptivity. All right, let's look at your next question, which I think was probably the most important question. It was about advice, right? So give me a moment to go back to the computer. You said, by and large, men prefer feminine women. Yes, 100%. This is what I want to say about this. The more feminine a woman is, the more she'll inspire the masculine in a man and vice versa. If a woman acts masculine, she's not going to attract a man who is masculine. She's going to attract a man that's feminine because the feminine man's going to be attracted to the masculine woman to create the balance. Incidentally, I do not encourage women to be feminine so that they can get a man, snag a man, attract a man, get married. I encourage women to be feminine because it's their true essence. It's about authentic femininity. It's not about femininity designed to snag a man or snatch a man. It's about you being real, about you being true to yourself, the same way that men should be masculine because they're being authentic. It's not about being macho, about being superior, arrogant or tough. It's about living up to who you really are. It's about realizing and fulfilling your full potential. So a woman should be seeking to be authentically feminine, not to do it for ulterior motives. When a woman realizes her full potential and expresses all of her femininity, there is a sense of fulfillment, there's a sense of wholeness, there's a sense of real meaning and inner peace that is almost indescribable. Okay, back to your question. By and large, most men prefer feminine women, which can often be a challenge because it often involves the idea of submission. Many black women have not had the luxury of being girly. Well, okay, let's stop at the idea of submission. And maybe I'm going to be answering the next question. Women can be feminine. They can choose to be submissive, but they must have boundaries. They must say, no, I will not allow this to happen. No, I will not accept this. And they must be willing to state their boundaries. So even in the context of feminine energy, a woman still needs to draw upon her masculine energy to say to a man, no, you don't treat me this way. No, you don't do this. No, that's overstepping the boundaries. Okay. Many black women have not had the luxury of being girly like white women have, but I find that they often desire that but have no idea how to do it. Any advice for them? Yes, I think it really goes back to what I said right from the beginning. First, get clear about what is femininity. Come up with a clear, practical definition of femininity. That means have a clear definition of femininity that can be applied, that it's practical. It's not esoteric. It's not philosophical. It's not poetical. It's applicable. You know how to be feminine. You know how to act feminine. Number two, decide to be feminine for one reason alone, so you can fulfill your potential, so you can be authentic to yourself, so that you can truly feel happy and satisfied with who you are. It also, you know, I work with a lot of people who have addictions and even eating disorders and body dysmorphic disorders. And it's really about, it's always the same thing. It's about you coming to the place where you feel good about who you are. And you feel good about who you are when you're being authentic to who you are, when you are in alignment with your values, with your purpose, with your temperament, with the very reason that you're here on this earth. So number one, come up with a clear definition of a woman. Number two, or femininity rather. Number two, make sure that definition is practical. Number three, decide that you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it to win a man. Number four, make sure that you're clear about your boundaries. You're willing to be feminine, but you understand your boundaries. So therefore, you're not looking for a man to control you. You're not looking for a man to demean you. You're looking for a man who will honor, respect you, love you, and make you a priority, make you the princess. Well, actually, better than princess is the queen, because princess, unfortunately, has a connotation today of a woman that's just spoiled and entitled versus queen. Sounds like a woman who has power and who is not only in a position of power, but also understands demonstrating respect and being respected. Right, any other tips? Be aware that you don't have to, in being feminine, you don't have to fulfill old traditional gender roles whereby the woman was second. You can still be feminine and be equal to the masculine. Understand that in being feminine, you will attract a more masculine man. Be willing to walk away from anyone that doesn't treat you well. And that applies to every relationship, really. But I think it's easier for a woman to be feminine when she says, I'm willing to be feminine, I'm willing to place my boundaries, and if a man doesn't treat me well, I'm willing to walk away. I also do sincerely believe, Crystalline, that when a woman is feminine and respects herself and honors her femininity, she will naturally attract a man that will also honor and respect her and her femininity. Now, before I wrap up, let me just think if there are any other tips I would give. I want to add this. I understand why many black women have moved away from femininity in the past, and that was maybe because of the way they were being treated by men. But you have to understand, too, that one of the things I teach is we teach other people how to treat us. In other words, if you allow someone to hit you once and then you allow them to hit you a second time, you're telling that person, you can hit me a second time, you can keep hitting me. So If you have a boundary, you say to someone, whoa, you just stepped over that boundary the way you said something, the way you did something, or the way you didn't do something. You're placing the boundaries, you're saying, this is how I want to be treated, this is how I will be treated, and I won't be treated any other way. So in the past, I think women were reacting because they allowed men, and I'm referring specifically to black women, that they allowed black men to treat them like crap. And you, I mean, obviously that can relate to any culture and any race and any nationality. But if you feel that the man must be angry and must treat you poorly and that you must sit there like a slave and a servant and you must receive the abuse, then you're going to continue to be abused. And how else can you stand up to an abuser unless you engage the masculine energy? So respect yourself, embrace your femininity, express your femininity, you'll attract and they'll also embrace and respect it. But you will attract a better quality man by placing your boundaries. I don't know if that answers all of your questions, other than maybe the only other thing I would add is that in being feminine, women, I said earlier that the feminine energy is so powerful. See, men need men don't like to hear this, and a lot of the male teachers, meaning the gurus and the teachers and trainers who teach masculinity, say that men shouldn't depend on women. And I say that's not true, because we are dependent creatures and we need relationships. In a really well-balanced relationship, the man inspires the woman and supports the woman and vice versa. Men do need to feel needed. They need to feel appreciated. They need to know that they're making a difference to their woman, to their relationship, to their family. And so therefore that requires, you know, saying thank you, saying I'm grateful, expressing appreciation, being demonstrative, etc., being affectionate, which is also another aspect of femininity. But it also entails a woman being emotionally supportive to a man to help him to realize his potential, to support him in his goals and ambitions, because those goals and ambitions are going to be directly connected to giving back to the family, giving back to the woman, to the queen. So I hope that answers all of it. I know it was very long. Usually it's better for me if you ask questions, meaning on the phone, because then I can answer them specifically. But I hope that helps. This is Patrick Wannis, Human Behavior and Relationship Expert, PhD, or you can just refer to me as Human Behavior Expert, PhD. Let me know what else you need. I'm willing to help out any other way I can. My website is www.patrickwannis.com. Thanks so much, Chris Lynn. Have a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.